Well, April is Franchising Month here in South Africa, and the Franchise Association of South Africa is holding its International Expo this week at the Sandton Convention Centre. We're in conversation now with Greg Solomon, the CEO of McDonald's South Africa. Greg, thanks so much for your time today. Tell us a little bit about why you are not attending this year's Expo.
Hi, Hannah. How are you doing? And hello to all the listeners. It's unfortunately, I try and make it out there every single time, but it's just conflicted at this point in time with my International Franchise Expo. So I'm on my way with a few of my Exco and a few of my franchisees here in South Africa to join 7,500 franchisees from around the world. We're meeting in Orlando. I leave tomorrow. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to give it a skip. But I'll certainly be there the next time around. It's a very important meeting as we get together and as we put our brains and minds and thought process together to see how we can contribute to the economy of this country.
And that expo that you're attending briefly in Florida is McDonald's specific?
This is McDonald's specific, 14,500 people emerge on one venue, and this is quite important. Why do we spend so much time to have meetings and face-to-face with our franchise partners? Because if you cannot align on the vision and you cannot align on the business philosophy and mission of the organization, you can't even come out of the starting blocks aligned. You know, to be a franchisor and a franchisee, it's not for sissies. It's a serious relationship. And like any relationship, be it a marriage, be it a relationship with your child, be it a business partnership relationship, we have to take it seriously. And unfortunately, you know, those franchisees and franchisors out there that don't take it seriously, I guess both the franchisor and the franchisee get inflicted with a lot of pain, whether it's market share or whether it's profitability. So as a McDonald's system, both locally and internationally, we spend a lot of time holding hands with each other, calibrating. It's easy to be a manager. It's hard to be a leader. It's easy to tell. It's hard to influence. And so we spend a lot of time leading each other and influencing each other, and that makes a successful partnership.
And in terms of the franchise industry in South Africa, you mentioned what some of the sort of topics at the conference will address and how it is contributing to GDP, job creation, etc. What is the size of the industry here in South Africa, and is it growing or shrinking from your point of view?
Well, I think the franchise institution can give you more exact statistics to what I can specifically give you. But what I can say to you is, if we have to compare ourselves to some of the other BRICS markets and some of the other growing economies, perhaps cast our mind to India and maybe China and maybe Russia and maybe South America, we'd have to have a look at what size of our economy is run by entrepreneurs versus peristatals. And whilst I can't give you the exact numbers because perhaps I don't even know them, I could say to you that we far, far under-index the rest of the world. This country, if it can get the entrepreneur spirit pumping and growing in the economy and contributing to the economy, we can be a far better country. We way under index. A lot of people say to me, are franchisees entrepreneurs? Some of those true entrepreneurs, they're family businesses that start off by themselves, cynically or quote-unquote cheekily say to me, my franchisees or our franchisees aren't entrepreneurs, but they very much are. They independent business men and women that partner with the McDonald's brand. And we just got so much more work to do in this country. It's endless.
That is an ongoing argument and debate, I'm sure. As you mentioned, are franchisees really entrepreneurs? How many franchised outlets does McDonald's have in South Africa?
We've got 240 odd outlets, just under 240. Half of those at this point in time are run by franchisees. It fluctuates as we grow, depending on where we grow to and how. We're 20 years old, so we're constantly evolving. We're constantly having some franchisees exit the system, some franchisees retire, some franchisees come in. But that's where we are at this point in time today. 20 years old on the 11th of November, a very proud moment for us. And we celebrated our 20th year birthday in Blackheath McDonald's. And Sipiwe Reggie Skosana is our franchisee there. He was the first franchisee in McDonald's. 20 years later, he remains there. And it was a great privilege for me, whilst he was in the system before I was, to hold his hand with his wife, Busi, and cut the ribbon on our 20-year anniversary. And there's not many partnerships that last that long. And hopefully many more years to come with Reggie Skosana and his team and our team.
And does Reggie own more than one McDonald's franchise?
Yes, at this point in time, Reggie's a multiple store owner, and as he's grown up in the business, he's got to own more restaurants. The average ownership of the restaurant in South Africa here is average just under 4 restaurants, 3.5 restaurants per franchisee. These are large business units, and we actually don't call our franchisees franchisees. You know, I mean, it's an important word, and there's no need to insult it, but we call our franchisees owner-operators because we expect them to own and we expect them to operate. These are hands-on business people. And if Reggie's got 4 or 5 restaurants, that means he's going to dedicate 20 to 25% of his time to those business units. And we need him to spend that quality time in his units. We have many single restaurant owner operators, and then our largest franchisees are 8, 9, and 10 restaurant franchisees. So it's very important for us to, and it's not about size necessarily. Some franchisees have many low volume restaurants. Some restaurants have 2 or 3 very high-volume restaurants. But most important for us, our franchisees need to be Mr. and Mrs. McDonald's in their neighborhood and spending their best endeavors, 100% of their time, in their businesses with their people and with their customers.
What does it take to become a franchisee or an owner-operator, as you put it? Is it quite difficult for someone who wants to become one, or does McDonald's make it quite difficult? What do you look for in an owner-operator?
It's not difficult to qualify to be an owner-operator, but it is quite difficult to get into the McDonald's system, and maybe let me tackle the first one first. Our franchisees come from a diverse business and a diverse cultural background. So we don't have a certain qualification that you need to have this sort of finance skill. We've got builders, we've got teachers, we've got accountants, we've got bankers, we've got lawyers as our franchisees, but these are all people that have got different skills. But we unite together on a common culture that centers around the customer, and it centers around people, and it centers around food. And so when you can strip it down to a common ethos, a common culture of an organization, and that's what you look for in, I've spoken about relationships a little earlier on the call. I'm not talking about a contract here. I'm talking about a relationship. And I think that's the most important thing. So you don't need a qualification to ask the first part of your question. Unfortunately, the hard part to get to McDonald's is we've only got a few spaces every year, and we're inundated with applications. So it's really only the few that get into McDonald's, and we have this long waiting list of people that want to get into McDonald's. We try make it as transparent as possible. We try make it as credible as possible. But unfortunately, we can only take a few franchisees every year. McDonald's is still quite ambitious on our growth. I guess we all, and all your listeners know, we're living in a very tough time right now in the economy. Things are tough. Tomorrow the petrol price goes up. We've seen the drought that's hit our business. We've seen the rand dollar run since November of last year. And if you talk about what challenges the franchisor-franchise relationship, often it is, you know, profitability in the organization, and market share is tough, and competition landscape is becoming quite murky. We can talk about that in a few minutes' time. But we still remain quite bullish from a growth perspective. We'll continue to grow this business at 10 or 20 restaurants every single year, we will gauge that growth pace on the profitability and the readiness for our business and the economy to take more McDonald's. And we can't see the end line yet. We've still got a lot of work to do.
You mentioned being inundated with applications for franchise kind of registration every year. What would you say is the ratio each year of available positions and applications that you get?
We would be under 10% of people. I mean, if I'm taking on 2 or 3 new franchisees every year, I'm sure we're way over. I haven't got the exact number, but I'm comfortably say we're way over 100 applicants a year. Unfortunately, that in a mature market, when I've got a lot of existing franchisees, you know, those franchisees are growing as well. And if I'm growing at 10 or 20 restaurants, we can just do our maths that I could probably only absorb 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 max franchisees per year.
We are seeing a number of American fast food chains entering South Africa or with plans to enter South Africa, including Burger King, Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins and Starbucks, of course, on its way here. McDonald's was one of the first to set up shop in the country, as you say, 20 years ago. Why do you think there has been such an influx of new chains in recent months and years?
Well, I guess they see the same opportunity we see. When you get an influx of new businesses into this country, they see potential. And so whilst we've been talking a little bit about a tough economy, that's the performance of our country and our businesses. We talk about the potential of the future. And if we go back the last 20 years, this country's grown beautifully, especially if you become relevant and indicative of the country. And I'm proud to say that our customer base and our client base is very, very relevant of the South African community. We cut across a broad base of all South African people that frequent McDonald's. And I think these new businesses that are coming into the country are seeing the same potential. And that's why I'm so bullish about the future of our business and so bullish about the continued growth and aspirations of our brand.
And when you say the competition landscape has become murky, what do you mean by that?
Well, now we've got to dig down a little deeper from franchise. Now we've got to dig down into food. And at the end of the day, I guess if I can, a lot of people ask me first question, are you a real estate business? I'm waiting for that question.
It's coming.
Are you a hamburger business? And I guess that's given us the legacy of how McDonald's has franchised its businesses and how it's grown its business. But the reality of those are just business models. We really are people's business, and now, you know, more than ever, we're a food business. I keep on saying to our franchisees and to our people, you know, we've got to stand up and be proud of our food. And, many years ago, I guess, if you came to McDonald's 20 years ago, you'd probably only find McDonald's, probably no other drive-thru. And I guess we've brought drive-thru, and now drive-thru is part of our life. I hope I say it in a humble way, not in an arrogant way. 10 years ago, we decided, how should we break through on the breakfast market? And I guess if we would have taken some of your listeners' advice, we probably would have said 2 fried egg and a rasher of bacon and some toast, and McDonald's brought out the Egg McMuffin, and it's 11% of our total business. And 5 years ago, it was McCafe, and 1 year ago, it was MDS, our McDonald's delivery system. So we continue to evolve as a brand, and we continue to attract different customers. And the murkiness is, so does everybody else. Who would think that McDonald's has a massive coffee business, serving lattes and espresso coffees and cappuccinos and carrot cake and paninis, and we're playing in a very different industry. And so different industries are playing in our industries. We talk about fast food, which is evolving quickly to good food served fast. So you can come through a McDonald's drive-thru and get a certain experience, but you can also go to another shop, catch a sandwich and a yogurt, and it could be as fast. And so what is actually happening to the way consumers are eating out there? Is it about fast food? Is it about McDonald's? Or is it about its competitors? Or are its true competitors actually its competitors? Or has the landscape just become so much more broad, so much more murky? And so McDonald's will continue to evolve, and we can talk more about menu if you want to, but really I would probably say only 30 to maybe 40% of our menu is international. And you said there's a lot of new American companies coming in to this country, and yes, we have American heritage, but hopefully it's taken us 20 years to listen and to say to the South African consumers, we're an American brand, but we're very much a South African business with South African people and South African menu.
Let's talk about that menu. As you said, food, it is a food business. South Africans have arguably become more aware of healthy eating over the last few years. Of course, our obesity rates don't necessarily support that view, but diets such as Banting and others have certainly gained traction among ordinary South Africans. Has McDonald's seen this at all in its sales? Has it had to change its menu at all?
I'd say yes and no. You're always going to fall back onto your favorites of the Big Mac and the strawberry shake and the world-famous French fries. And I think, we can debate across the industry on what's good and what's bad. We can talk about the Banting diet on the one side, and we can talk about other holistic diets which say you need to have 25% protein, 25% carb, and 50% vegetable. There's a variety of different things. However, put that all aside, McDonald's has a responsibility to listen to its customers, listen to the nutritionists out there, and evolve our menu. And so we have. We brought grilled chicken onto our platform. We've brought Millie's onto our platform, which is a local platform. We've brought a variety of different juices onto our platform. We've brought salads onto our platform. We've brought a variety. I mean, our beef is 100% pure beef. We're looking at different types of dairy, looking at different types of breads. So as the South African consumer evolves, McDonald's will evolve. We need to take a leadership role. The health and well-being of our South African consumers and worldwide consumers is paramount to our business. And McDonald's believes that we're not fast food anymore, nor that maybe we were never fast food, but we are going towards a good food served fast, and we will show our customers, if we're not showing them already, that we're evolving with their views and with their choices.
I'm impressed by your menu additions. Certainly the grilled chicken has impressed me. I do often hear jokes, though, around what goes into McDonald's food, and they are sort of, I mean, I don't think that's a new thing. Jokes have been made for many years about McDonald's food. Just today I heard that the reason why McDonald's milkshakes are so delicious is because you put animal fat in them. Is that at all true?
No, that's completely not true. Our food is so delicious.
I had to ask.
Our food is so delicious because we try to strip it down to very, very few ingredients. You know, there's really only three things in our beef. It's beef, salt, and pepper. And so, you know, sometimes when you add too many things in and spice it up, so you sort of lose the context of what you're really, really selling. And so we want to be as purist as possible. Our dairy products are 100% dairy. Our beef products are 100% beef. So that's not true.
Your most popular food item, you mentioned the Egg McMuffin, more than 11% of sales. Is that the most popular food item?
No, that's our most popular breakfast item is the egg. It's the sausage and egg McMuffin. Second place is the egg McMuffin. The difference is one is a beef patty and an egg, and the other one is a slice of chicken and an egg. We don't have any pork in our restaurants. We're 100% halal across all 240-odd restaurants. But the number one seller in McDonald's has been for the last 20 years is the Big Mac. It keeps on pushing its nose out there. It gets threatened by the chicken foldover, which is our biggest chicken product. It gets threatened by the enormous McFeast, which is a South African product, which is a big beef burger. The sausage and egg McMuffins up there. But that's our big seller. And if you really had to strip it down to the big, big, big seller of McDonald's, because it gets sold with almost every single meal, and that's the French fries. That's bar none is the biggest seller for McDonald's.
So Big Mac and fries reign supreme. Any concern, Greg, over this sugar tax that we heard announced in the budget, obviously only coming into effect next year? We're not quite sure what it will entail, but specifically a tax on sugary drinks. Do you think that's going to impact your revenues at all?
Yeah, at this point in time, it's so fresh and it's so new from the Minister of Finance on the sugar tax. I haven't really quite given it a huge thought on what impact. Surely it'll bring impact to the business, but I'm not that concerned about it. You know, for us, we're driving a message of choice. We can come with fancy footwork around, you know, what's in food and what's right, and is banting right, or is sugar right, or is starch, is carb right. But at the end of the day, let's not underestimate how clever the South African consumer is out there and how educated the South African consumer is there. Where McDonald's is going is education and choice. And for you, it may be banking. For me, it may be a high-carb diet. You may be running the Comrades. I might be sitting at my desk. At the end of the day, where we're going is a diverse menu. We offer chicken. We offer fish. We offer a great veggie burger. We offer some really, really good meat ranges. We're evolving our business into some really exciting things in the next 2 years. And we're going to equip our customers with great choices and great education of what they're eating. And they'll make the decision.
Now, catering for customers' food choices is one thing, but catering for their wallets is quite a different thing. Of course, we know the South African consumer is under a lot of financial pressure with inflation going up, food prices going up, and that obviously affects McDonald's too. Are you worried about just the sort of viability of profits going forward with all of the tough economies that we're experiencing?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that profit in any business, profit for my franchisees, profit for us as a corporation, you know, this is a threat to any business. But with that threat comes this big word called bravery. And, you know, every month I sit with my franchisees, we hold hands and we say, how brave can we make it out there? And it's not bravery to be, you know, stronger than the competition. It's not that. It's bravery to be able to recognize and support our customers during these trying times. I mean, McDonald's has got a menu called the Single Double Triple. It launches next month, and it actually launches tomorrow. We've got the burger at this point in time. It's a meal, a double cheeseburger, fries, medium drink for 29 Rand. Tomorrow comes out our 1990 Rand meal, and then we've got a 39 Rand meal. There's no one out there that can play with McDonald's on value, and we recognize that. Our consumers have asked for it. We've said to them these are tough times. We've placed out, you know, this brave call, and we know that our consumers will support us for supporting them and vice versa.
Now, you alluded to this earlier, the fact that there has been much written about how the McDonald's empire is as much a real estate empire as it is a fast food empire. And it has been built that way for the past 60 years in that it buys properties and leases them to its franchisees. How many properties does McDonald's own in South Africa?
That varies too, but we take a large position on real estate, and it's not we buy a property and lease it to our franchisees. Effectively, we get our money through a partnership of sales. The more sales they make, the more money we make. But just under 50%, I think it's in the high 40s, if I'm correct here, is our portfolio that is owned. And we mainly do that because we take a long-term view of a business. We very seldom find a McDonald's that goes into a location and then 5 years later moves away. When McDonald's comes into your neighborhood, we're pretty much there for life. In some restaurants, we're going on to 21 and 22 years, and we're signing leases for the further 20 years. So buying property, I guess even if you talk to those serious real estate guys out there who say, well, can you really make, you know, my 9 to 11% yield out of property? McDonald's takes a 20-year view, and that's why it will buy property, to secure the longevity of its business and to secure the longevity of its franchise relationship. There's nothing worse trying to enter into a franchise relationship on a 5-year lease.
And are these properties predominantly group owned?
Yeah, all the properties are owned by the group, and then the franchisees make their money out of selling hamburgers, and the more sales that they make, we partner with them in our income.
Do you have a rough idea around how many properties that is in real terms or in hard numbers?
Hard numbers on number of properties. I said between sort of 40, just in the 40-45% of 230.
Okay.
40% multiplied by 230. It's about 90-95 odd properties.
And the income that you get from those properties or the average rent on those properties, can you speak to that a bit?
Well, our income is on the turnover of our franchisees. So if we take a turnover rental from our franchisees, that's how we make our income. Mm. If our franchisees do well, we do well. So that's how we make our money out of our properties. It's not really a conventional property model, as I attempted to explain to you before. It's more securing the longevity of our business and being in control of the destination that we've made a big decision on.
To finish off, Greg, let's look a little bit more at the franchise industry more broadly in South Africa, seeing as it is Franchising Month. The franchise industry codes have been gazetted here in South Africa, and the appointment of an ombudsman for the industry is imminent. What impact will these two developments have, in your opinion, on the growth of franchising in South Africa?
Well, I guess in the McDonald's way, our governance, our processes are so strong that I think that these new policies are not really going to have too much effect, if any effect at all, on the McDonald's business. However, I spend a lot of time speaking to smaller businesses, smaller franchisors, smaller franchisees out in the group, and it provides a lot of structure, a lot of fiscal responsibility in the industry, which I think is very, very good. For those franchisors and franchisees that are sort of, I don't want to use sort of the word, just probably living on the edge and sort of taking shortcuts, I think that this governance is going to bring a lot of discipline and a lot of change for them, and possibly even a lot of aggravation. But for the guys that are running their businesses properly, making sure that their relationships with their franchisees and franchisors is open, shared risk, shared accountability, shared vision, living up to the right, doing business the right way, I think they're going to offer very little difference for us, because that's what we should be doing anyway.
There we go. Greg Solomon is the CEO of McDonald's South Africa.